Thank you very much, Pam. Do keep that passage open. If we've not met, my name is David Griffin, and I'm on the team here. Let's pray. Feed my sheep. Lord God, please help us to be sheep who feed on your word, the word of Christ. Please help us to do that now. Amen. Well, I hope you've been able to enjoy some of the new things that we're allowed to do, of going into shops and meeting up. I'm particularly looking forward next month to being able to go to a cinema. It was one of the last things I did before the last lockdown. And there's always that moment when you're in the cinema and the film has ended. And that's always the moment as the credits start to roll. I'm just about to get up and shuffle in the dark towards the exit. And I'm thinking, what did I think of that? Was that any good? And everyone's shuffling around in the dark to get to the door. Unless, of course, you're watching one of the Marvel superhero films. Because then people don't get up initially, at least those who know what's going to happen next. Why? Because halfway through the credits, there'll be an extra little clip of the film. And it's going to tell the fans what happens next and what will happen next in the series. It's a bit of a tradition that they've done for the last 20 or so films. And John chapter 21 is a bit like that. Because in John chapter 20, we saw that Jesus is risen and he appears to the disciples. And Thomas, who initially didn't believe, now believes, my Lord and my God. And then it's as if the credits are starting to roll. We see John's note, these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And then we get John chapter 21, and we're back with the disciples. Why is that? But the exciting thing is that John chapter 21 shows us that Jesus' work continues after his death and resurrection. And it's really important for us to understand this because it's as if John chapter 21 is a bridge between Jesus' ministry on earth when he's with his disciples and our lives today. So if there's one thing I want us to see from this passage, it's this. That Jesus' work continues. He's feeding his sheep through his apostles. He's feeding his sheep through his apostles. And we'll think about this under three headings. The first is as Jesus meets Peter, who's no longer a failure, but forgiven. No longer a failure, but forgiven. So as we started our reading, Jesus is talking to Peter. He's just appeared to them again. And we saw the miraculous catch of fish last week. But Peter's not in a good place. He had denied Jesus three times. He crumbled under the pressure just when he was confronted by a servant and a little girl. Even though he had been with Jesus for all those years, and seen Jesus and been taught by Jesus, he crumbled straight away and denied Jesus. Not once, not twice, but three times. And so in the story, here he is back in the fishing nets, what he used to do. And you can imagine how that would have felt. It felt that everything had gone wrong. Back to square one. He'd failed. But as our reading shows, it's not going to stay that way. Have a look at verse 15. Jesus says to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Feed my lambs. But then Jesus does something very surprising. He asks again, verse 16, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? And then when Peter says yes, Jesus then asks a third time in verse 17, do you love me? not hard to imagine how Peter must have felt at this time. Yes, Jesus, of course I love you. Why are you asking me three times? As he speaks through the tears, you know I love you. But at some point, and we don't know when, the penny would have dropped. And Peter would have known. Three times he had denied Jesus. And now three times he states his love to Jesus. He's fully turned back to the Lord Jesus. And so Jesus says in verse 19, the end of verse 19, follow me. It's a new beginning. Peter is no longer the failure. He is forgiven. He's been restored. I don't know if you've ever been to Pevensey Castle down the road. You can go there, and it's the place where there was the Roman fort and where William the Conqueror was a long, long time ago. And you can see the ruins. And you can walk around and you can see some cannons and things. And just on the English Heritage Hut, as you come in, you can see a panel. And it gives you a little drawing of what they think it used to look like. And you can imagine what it would have been if you'd lived in that golden age of the castle. And it makes you want to go back. Oh, wouldn't it be amazing if it was restored to its former glory and you could see it as it once was? Well, the great news is that Jesus is in the business of restoration, not of castles, but of people. His work continues after the resurrection. He's feeding his sheep, and he's starting with Peter. That means there's an invitation going out to all of us. Come and dine. The Master calls, come and dine. The question for us, do we want this? Do we want this? Restoration, being fed. I was recently reading the book Gentle and Lonely by a guy called Dane Ortlund. It came out last year, and in many ways it was the book that followers of Jesus really needed over the last year. I don't have a copy in front of me because I've given it away. And it's all about the heart of Christ. And it tells us, and we see that in this passage, that even though our friends have limits, and even though we sometimes think that Jesus has limits, Jesus is always wanting to feed us. He always wants us to come back to him. He always feeds those who come to him. Perhaps at the moment we're clinging to our sin and selfishness right now because we've forgotten this. Perhaps we know we feel we're far from God, but we just can't bear the pain of repenting and breaking from that sin. It just feels so painful and harsh. So we rationalize our sin, or we justify it, or maybe we just put off the problem a bit later. Very subtle, but equally dangerous. When at the same time, we could be being fed. We could be being fed. And it's so important for us to understand this at the stage that we are in the life of our church. As we begin to emerge and come out of lockdown, with so much time away from God's people over the last 12 months, and the question for us won't be whether we've spiritually drifted, but by how much. Jesus' great encouragement to return to him. His work continues. He's feeding his sheep. If you don't believe that, look at Peter. This is where it's starting. No longer a failure, but forgiven and restored. But Jesus is doing even more than that. Our second heading, no longer disciples, but apostles. No longer disciples, but apostles. Jesus not only feeds Peter, he commissions him and the other disciples to feed others now as apostles. Peter had started out as one of the disciples. They were the 12 disciples, which means they were learners, they were followers. And now they would be apostles, which means messenger. They would be the messengers who speak the word of God And in time, they would be the people who put together the New Testament and who wrote it. So have a look back at verse 15. Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Feed my lambs. And again in verse 16, take care of my sheep. And in verse 17, feed my sheep. Three times a commission. Peter would be an under-shepherd. His new role, he would be an under-shepherd, feeding the sheep. I say under-shepherd because back in John chapter 10, we saw that Jesus is the good shepherd. He's the good shepherd. He's the one who lays down his life for his sheep. And you remember we read a bit earlier from Peter about the good shepherd of our souls. You can imagine Peter writing that. It's the same guy, 1 Peter, who wrote that. And you can imagine him as he wrote that, thinking about what Jesus had told him. Yeah, he's the good shepherd. And Peter was going to be an under-shepherd, continuing that work of shepherding the flock. And how does a shepherd lead? How does a shepherd lead the sheep? They lead by speaking. Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice. My sheep know my voice." Peter would shepherd by speaking God's words. Jesus is feeding his sheep through the apostles' word. That's his new priority, post-resurrection age, the age that joins us to the world of Jesus. And that's what it meant to be an apostle. That's what it meant. It meant to be an eyewitness, commissioned by Jesus, and someone who would give fresh revelation from God about Jesus. These apostles, they were the people who wrote the New Testament. That's what this, where this revelation ends up. A unique role that they had. The foundation of the church. And people would feed on Christ as they believe this word. They believe the apostles' word. That is what Jesus is doing now. He's feeding his sheep through the apostles, through their word. And verse 18 shows a bit of what this life would look like for Peter as he went out and spoke the word of God about Jesus. Have a look at verse 18. Jesus speaking. I tell you the truth, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. This is where Peter's life would take him. He would be crucified and executed as Jesus was before him. But for John, and John, if you can imagine, as they're having this conversation, the Apostle John is standing next to them. And Peter says, what about him then? And Jesus says, well, it's going to be different for John. Have a look at verse 22. Jesus answered, if I want John to remain alive until I return, what's it to you? What's it to you? Now, it is really careful. It's really important that we're careful to read this properly, because we could overread this. Jesus is not saying that John would never die, and he was not saying that Jesus was going to return in 30 years. But Jesus was saying, if I do, what's it to you, Peter? Don't look sideways, Peter. Just focus on serving me, no matter where it takes you. Verse 23 gives us that clarification. Because of this, the rumor spread among the brothers that this disciple, John, would not die. But Jesus did not say that he would not die. He only said, if I want him to remain until I return, what's it to you? And verse 24, we keep reading. We can see precisely what John would be doing. Verse 24, "This is the disciple, it's me, who testifies to these things and wrote them down." See, the author of John's gospel is revealed. It's an apostle, Apostle John. And that's really important because that radically changes how we read this book, John's gospel, that we have in front of us on our service sheets and in our Bibles. It means that this is eyewitness testimony. You think of the law court when they summon the witness. What makes a good witness? It's being an eyewitness, being competent to tell about the things that they saw. That's this work. That's the level of reliability that we're talking about. And it's also an authorized work. It's authorized by Jesus. But Jesus is the one who's commissioned this book to be read. This is what we're reading in front of us and what we have been looking at over the last few weeks. It changes massively how we read John's gospel and the rest of the New Testament when we realize that Jesus commissioned the apostles to write down his words and what he did. It massively changes the way we view the New Testament because we see it as Jesus's book. We don't see it as based on hearsay, like a game of Chinese whispers. It's not an oral tradition of people over generations trying to work out who this person Jesus was and not understanding. It's not a collection of conflicting and contradictory views, as Steve Chalk, the leader, claimed. But one commissioner of this book, Jesus, continuing his work. One commissioner across the whole of the New Testament, Jesus. We should consider this book as Jesus' book, God's word written by the apostles. And most importantly, we should consider this book the means by which Jesus is feeding us today. He's feeding his sheep through the apostles' word. That's how it happens. I hope we'll have as high a view of the New Testament as Jesus does. I hope we'll have that view. Because once we get that this is how we feed on Jesus, we will know where we can go and where we can be fed. And that will massively change our expectations as we come to this. The apostles' word, the word commissioned by Jesus, eyewitness testimony, the way that Jesus is feeding his sheep. But having looked at this passage, we're able to step back and answer a really big question that I'm sure many of us have been asking. Many of us across the country have been asking this question. It's this: what is God doing in the world now? What's God doing in the world now? Have you asked that question over the last year? I think we have at some point. And our passage shows us one massive thing that Jesus is doing and continuing to do after his resurrection. His work continues. He's feeding his sheep through his apostles. He's feeding his sheep through his apostles. We've seen Jesus feed his sheep in that beautiful encounter with Peter. Restoration, forgiveness, failure dealt with, no longer disqualified. And we've seen that Jesus will continue feeding his sheep through the apostles' word. The wonderful reality is that Jesus is not distant from us. He's working. His work continues. Some of you may know the story, the Narnia story of Prince Caspian, written by C.S. Lewis. And in that story, we meet a prince, Prince Caspian. He's a prince growing up, and he's growing up in troubled times. And some people tell him these old stories. It's old stories. Old stories about a lion, Aslan, about a golden age, about four sons and daughters of Adam. But others say, what a load of rubbish, and warn the prince never to speak of Aslan again. But then very quietly, the prince gets a new tutor. And the tutor makes sure that they're all out of earshot. And he says to the prince, it's all true. All the old stories, they're all real. And in turn, Prince Caspian knows Aslan working in his life and meets Aslan. John 21, it all continues today. Jesus feeding his sheep. It's not like, when you get Helsham news through the post and you pick it up and you turn to the page on a bit on the history bit and you look at what Helsham was like 100 years ago and you go, oh, how interesting, how quaint that it used to be like that and people used to do those things. And some people view Jesus like that. Oh, Jesus did that. How interesting, how quaint. No, his work continues. The living Christ working today, feeding his sheep. So let's think about how we should respond. And to do this, well, we need to ask, who am I? Who am I in the passage? It's a big question that we always try and ask together as a youth group, as SALT. I'm just looking up for any nods from the youth group. Okay, that's good enough for me. We always do that. So let's ask ourselves, who are we in this story? Are we the apostles? Well, not quite, are we? Because we're not, as much as might like to think of it, we're not the 12 who went out and gave fresh revelation from God and wrote the Bible down. We're not those 12. They have a special role in the history of God's plan. But we are the sheep. We're the sheep in the story. When Jesus says, take care of my sheep, that's us. That's us. We're there, the sheep. So the first step, our first priority, has to be to feed on Christ through the apostles' word, to feed on Christ through the apostles' word. And that is particularly important for us at the stage we are in the life of our church as we begin to return to meeting together, to be feeding on Christ's word. I don't know what it means for you. There's all sorts of ways it will look like. For me, I think a big part of it is relearning how to listen well after all those months on YouTube, and you can just pick up your phone and it goes beep, 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 beep. Learning all those habits. Unlearning all those habits, sorry. And sometimes it's little things, just like remembering to bring a Bible as I go out the door so I can have it open in front of me. Or maybe in small groups, it's just that case of tuning out some of those distractions and all the things going on. And also, I think for me, making sure that I'm listening with a purpose. I remember a friend of mine once said, he was talking about doctrine. You know, what the Bible teaches about stuff. And he was talking about it, and he said, all this doctrine in the Bible, it's to help us know and love Jesus more and more. And I suddenly realized, as I heard it, something clicked, and I realized, do you know what? I think maybe I just like Bible for Bible's sake. Just new information, interesting. So the big question for us is, as we come together, as we gather on Sunday, as we meet in our small groups, as we have our own devotions, do I have that expectation to be fed? Do I have that expectation to be fed? Is that my priority, expectation? Maybe we're just going through the motions at the moment and just feel that, just feels like on a loop. It's time to refocus as we restart. It's been great to welcome a number of new faces to our church as we've been reopening. I hope you find us a people as you visit us and as you think about joining us. I hope you find us as a people who have that expectation to be fed by Christ. were sheep. Our first priority, to feed on Christ through the apostles' word. But then, as good sheep, the next step will be to follow as the apostles did and feed others as we join in that work that is going on. We be fed and then we follow. We're fed and then we follow. Feeding others, speaking the gospel of Jesus. It's not an optional extra for us as followers of Jesus, because as we've seen, it's Jesus' priority. It's what God is doing in this new post-resurrection age. Is it our priority? Is it our priority? The thing is that there's so many ways that our culture and our country need the message of Jesus. Our world is in division, so many ways, race, gender, nation. We have a gospel that brings people together under Jesus. We're a country at the moment that is mourning death. Prince Philip, the people who died from COVID. We have a gospel that beats the grave. And as we hear in the news about politicians and leaders using their influence to get a deal for their mates who are lobbying, we can point to a leader, Jesus, who is genuine and never corrupted, and someone who we can trust. And there's the opportunity, isn't there, as things gradually begin to open up, as we can begin to have people around to share our lives, share what's important to us, share our Saviour. And social media too. As we spend our time there, and sometimes I think, whenever I'm feeling a bit hesitant, I'm feeling, do I really want to share that Christian stuff and get the pushback? I remind myself, well, where is the bar on the social media? And I think of some of the rubbish things that sometimes other people and sometimes myself have posted. And I was like, okay, well, I might as well hear something important now. Opportunity with our neighbours, our colleagues, our schoolmates, our friends, golf partners, whoever. Jesus' priority and our priority. Perhaps at this point we feel a bit ill-equipped. It's a massive task. And yet we need to be reminded from this reading that it's not about us. It's about Jesus' work, not ours. He's feeding his sheep. He's working now. He's not distant. So let's pray for us, ourselves, as a church, that we would return to the Lord and refocus on that important feeding of the sheep, all because Jesus is now feeding his sheep through the apostles. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that it is not ultimately about us. It's about Jesus feeding his sheep. And so we pray that we would join in. We pray that we would feed on the apostles' word and in turn go and follow and feed others with the apostles' word. Thank you for that wonderful, living, powerful word of Jesus that feeds us. We thank you that we have so much in Jesus. Amen.